Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on July the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and as is our custom on Mondays, we take a look at a reading for the following Sunday. The following Sunday, July the 21st, is Proper 11. And the particular passage from the gospel is Mark 6, beginning with verse 30. Now, the title of this section is The Feeding of the 5,000. This is one of the most important passages in the Bible. And why is that? Because it's found in every gospel. Matthew 14, Luke 9, John 6, and Mark 6. Very, very important that the Holy Spirit would make sure that each of the apostles wrote this. It begins in verse 30 of Mark chapter 6. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him everything they had done and taught. Now, this was after a number of things had taken place. Jesus had sent out the 12. In Mark 6, verse 7, he gave them instructions. When you go into a home, stay there until you leave the place. If the people of any place don't welcome you or listen to you, leave that place. Shake the dust off the soles of your feet as a warning to them. And the apostles went out and preached that people should repent. It was a message that John the Baptizer had done. They also drove out many demons and healed many who were sick and made them well. This is also the section where we are told that Herod kills John the Baptizer after his daughter, who was the daughter of Herodias, had danced. And Herod was so impressed with her dancing. Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. I'll give you anything you ask, up to half of my kingdom. And when she went and asked her mother, "What should I ask for?" The mother told her, "The head of John the Baptizer." And so, because Herod had promised that in front of the nobles, that's what happened to John. His head was cut off, put on a platter, and given to Herodias' daughter, who then went and gave it to her mother. All right. It is after this that we get Jesus feeding the 5,000. So the apostles gathered. They told Jesus they came and took the body of John the Baptizer and laid it in a grave. Jesus told them, "Now you come away to some deserted place where you can be alone and rest a little. Jesus mentioned that because at the end of verse 31, so many were coming and going, there wasn't even time for Jesus and the apostles to eat. So they went away in a boat to a deserted place to be alone. But many saw them leave and recognized them. And they ran from there, all the towns, and got there ahead of him. When Jesus stepped out of the boat, he saw a big crowd and felt sorry for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. Of course, Jesus announced himself as the good shepherd. He would protect the sheep from enemies, unlike someone who would not, because they were his sheep. They knew him by name. And so Jesus was their shepherd, as he still is today, the shepherd of those who believe in him as their Savior, who died on the cross in order to pay for their sins, and then also made a promise to them that he would be with them at all times. So, verse 35, when it was quite late, the disciples came to him. Now, Jesus had been preaching all day, and that's why it was quite late. They said to him, "This is a deserted place, and it is late." In other words, there were no restaurants or grocery stores to buy food in the area. So they instructed Jesus, what? Send the people away to the farms and villages around us to buy themselves something to eat. Instead, Jesus replied to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "Should we go and buy bread for 200 denarii?" Now see, there were 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. A denarii was one day's worth of wages. So they would have had to have bought 200 denarii in order to give them something to eat. Jesus said, "Well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see." They found out. And in other passages of the gospel, they said they had found 5 loaves and 2 fish that a little boy had had. He ordered them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to give to the people. He also gave pieces of the two fish to everyone. All of them ate and had enough food. This was the feeding of the 5,000. Now, when I was at the seminary, we had a number of professors there who did not believe the words of Jesus. And when they did not believe the words of Jesus, this was the explanation that they gave us. When people saw the little boy take out two loaves and five fish, they were embarrassed. They also had brought food to eat and kept it under their loaves. So the people began to share what they had brought. And that's how we were told that Jesus feed 5,000 people, by embarrassing the group to give of their own food. It was no miracle, we were taught at the seminary. But the Bible is clear. All of them ate from the five loaves and the two fish. Verse 43, they picked up pieces of bread and of the fish, 12 baskets full. There were 5,000 men who had eaten and were filled. And yet, boy, they all were filled from just a little bit of bread and fish. That was the great miracle. Later on, in a Gentile town, Jesus did the same miracle and filled 4,000 men, not counting women and children. So these two miracles were done by Jesus. This was not the miracle of the Last Supper. The Last Supper, when Jesus sat with his disciples, he also prayed to the Father, bless the bread. But in giving out the bread, he was giving his body. And in giving out the wine, he was giving out his blood. That was the Lord's Supper. And it is continued in many churches at least once a month. The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Psalm chapter 23. This is a psalm memorized by many people. It's a psalm by David entitled, My Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. That's the promise that Jesus gives to his people. We don't get everything that we desire or everything we pray for, but everything that Jesus considers us in need. That's a promise he makes. That's the promise of the Old Testament. And the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ himself. The rest of the psalm indicates the gifts that he receives. He makes me lie down in fresh green pastures. He leads me to still waters where I can rest. Why is that important? Because sheep need food and they need water. The fresh green pastures are the food that sheep can eat. And Jesus gives them that grass so they will never be hungry. He gives them still waters in which they can rest. These are not stormy waters or fast-moving waters, which could lead to the sheep drowning because of the wool that they have on them. No, these are still waters and fresh green pastures. Then comes the promise. He restores my life. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What is that talking about? Because until we receive the faith of Jesus Christ, we are still sinners, unable to do the righteousness of God. But by restoring my life, which means bringing me back to life, he is restoring us to the position of Adam and Eve. He reignites us with the robes of righteousness for his name's sake. That's what he said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And therefore we have a promise that even though we walk in the dark valley of death, we fear no harm because he is with us. Your rod and your staff give me comfort. The rod was used to beat against evil beasts that attempt to harm the sheep. And the staff was a lengthy pole shaped in the form of a question mark, where Jesus could bring a sheep up out of falling into a hole and save them. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. So, verse 5 of Psalm 23. You set a table before me, right in front of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. That cup is, of course, the cup of the Lord's Supper. That is running over. It is never empty. Reminds us of the time when Elijah was fleeing from a king and Queen Jezebel, who was trying to put him to death. And he was led to a Gentile town and a widow who had a son. And the amount that she had was very little to eat, but it did not run out during the whole time of the famine. God took care of Elijah, and her food did not run out until the famine ended, and she could therefore get other food that God supplied her. So verse 6 is a promise from God. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all my life. What's goodness? Goodness from God's point of view. It may happen in a way that surprises us, because God's goodness will never leave us. And at the point of our death, His mercy will follow me into heaven, which means my spirit will continue to live after I die here on earth. And my spirit will be taken to heaven in order to live forever with all that Jesus feels that we need for our salvation. Psalm 23. That is the meaning of Jesus becoming my good shepherd. When the Holy Spirit comes to me and saves me from all evil here on earth until my death, when I will be taken to heaven, and like Jesus said to Martha, I will not die, but live forever. And on Judgment Day, then my spirit will be rejoined with my body, and I will live forever in heaven with Jesus, with God the Father, and the Holy Spirit eternally. That's what will happen to the apostles, to the saints, and to the Holy Trinity. And I will live in the Lord's house forever. And what is the Lord's house? It's the Holy Christian Church. I began to live in it for many of us when we were baptized. Baptized into the family of God. And that baptism continues with Jesus taking care of us and promising never to leave us, giving us goodness even when we die and go to heaven. And regardless of the way that we die, heaven will be our home. Psalm 23, one of the most important psalms found in the Old Testament, a psalm that came to David, and he believed it when the son of him and Bathsheba died. He knew he would see him again and thank the Lord for that promise. A promise that we can thank Jesus for every day of our life. Join us tomorrow for the hymn, The Church's One Foundation. Until then, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.